Good morning, and a beautiful way, I think, to start the morning by saying something that we all need every day to be strong in the Lord, every minute, and sometimes more than other times. And I think today might be one of those for many of our families. And I want to thank Eric and Janet for jumping in this morning and just doing what Mennonites do on the spur of the moment. Let's sing together. Our call to worship. Lord, you are our God. We want to realize how much we depend on you. You have not only given us life, you have made us able to think about its meaning and to choose and work for what is good. In the world, much is confusing. Many voices strive to be heard, yet we have your word to guide us. The life and teaching of your Son, the example of many faithful Christians, we have known your hand holding us fast, your steps marking out the way for us. We long to know you still. Your presence transforms even the darker times. With you, we need not be afraid. Nothing can separate us from your love. Draw out from us such an answering love that in our time of testing, we may not fall away. Amen. Would you open your Mennonite hymnals, your brown books, please? You know, that's one of my favorite books. And 434, and we're going to sing verse 1, 3, 4, and 5. And if you would like to stand and sing with us, that would be wonderful. 4, 3, 4, God of grace and God of glory.
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thine ancient church's story, bring her all to glorious now. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the facing of this hour.
Thank you and welcome to everyone this morning. If there are any guests in our midst, if you would like to be introduced, please just stand and let us know. And if not, and I'm looking around, then welcome on a beautiful, what I call, summer prairie morning. You can't beat them, right? In our announcements, we have a number of items. I'm sure you've read them all. And I'm sure you've also heard a lot of the news that has traveled. And it's never too early to think about Sunday school volunteers and to the music committee and also the volunteer call for number 6 to make sure that you have looked at where you can help in church in the fall and at any time. And then, of course, we have a lot of prayer needs, not just for the people who are in hospital or in personal care home or who are recovering at home, who are also undergoing treatments. We also have sympathies. Under number 1, the very sudden passing. And it must have been very difficult and will be difficult in the days and weeks and months to come to lose a son. To loving partner Kaylin Knott, parents Kurt and Risa Dirksen, Opa Frank Dirksen here in our church, siblings Haley, Zachary, and Bella, all of the remaining families, many of them who are in our church here. The memorial service was held on Friday, August the 5th, at the Winnipeg Evangelical Free Church. May the love of family and friends comfort those who are grieving at this difficult time. Also on Sunday, another death happened, and Udo and Charlotte Penner, who were involved in an accident, and Udo, who is the brother of Ursula Zapp, passed away, and that is not an easy time for them as well, and we keep you in our prayers. And then this morning I was also given another announcement. Peter Kauenhofen, age 92, father to Anna and Diedrich Funk, and Opa to Delphina, Bridget, and to Elliot Sawatsky, and all of their families. He passed away in Loma Plata on Friday, and the funeral service is being held this afternoon. Elliot's parents are here, and they're not able to be at the service in Paraguay, as well as Anna. And it must be very difficult to know that your father is being, and Opa is being laid to rest, and you're not able to be there to share that time. So we'll keep them in our prayers as well. So shall we sing together then, Happy the Home, and number 461, to remember that we also have a lot of things to be joyous for and a lot of things to be grateful for. We've come to the time of sharing, so if there's anyone who'd like to share, please stand or sit and a mic will be brought to you. No one? Well, then I'll do a little sharing. August the 15th, which will be a week tomorrow, my son in New Zealand will be undergoing another surgery, this time for that long-awaited hernia surgery. And he's had some allergic reactions to anesthetics, so I ask that you keep him in your prayers. Also, I just want to chat just for a minute about Bethania. I have now had a 10-year, and after 9 years, you can't stay on the board any longer. It's time to have some movement. And I have thoroughly enjoyed my 9 years, and I've learned a great deal. And just to let you know a little bit about what's coming in the future, we are starting to do presentations at churches. They generally take place right after the service. We're WRHA plus our CEO and some of our senior leadership team. We'll give some advice and some information about how people are paneled, what is the latest, what's happening, and I think that's very important to know, and especially because it's our Bethania. And also to keep on your calendar that last Monday of the month in September when we will be doing the spiritual fundraising. Now, a lot of people don't realize that in order to have a chaplain and have a spiritual component at a personal care home, it does not get covered by the government. It's all done simply by raising money. So we have a chaplain, Fred Funk, and also a new one at our Pembina. So keep that in mind. I want to fill as many tables as I can so that I can say that I feel like I've really done some good things in the time that I've been there, and I really have appreciated your support. No other sharing? Okay. Then let us bow in prayer. Lord God, the story of your love for us makes us realize that there are many others as well as ourselves who need your help and your grace. So we bring our prayers to you for those who suffer pain, for those whose minds are disturbed or have never matured, for those who have not had the opportunity to realize their potentialities, for those who are satisfied with something less than the life for which they were made, for those who know their guilt, the shallowness, their need, but who do not know of Jesus, for those who know that they must shortly die, for those who cannot wait to die. Lord, you know what is in our hearts, our joys, our sorrows, our pain, our disappointments, our anger, our struggles, and the hope that comes from you, hope for healing, hope for continued strength. Lord, we ask that you fill the hearts of all people so we could live in peace, in love, in understanding, in acceptance, in tolerance in a world that is in turmoil and hurting. Help us to be better stewards of this beautiful earth that you, O God, have created for us. Help us live in unity, for we are all God's children. Help us to be grateful for all that we have, for our families, our friends, our church community, those warm prairie summers, our crops and our gardens. This morning we also pray for our church families, those in personal care homes, hospitals, or at home, those undergoing treatment, and those who continue to recover. We pray especially for grieving families, for the family who lost their children in a drowning accident at Grand Beach, for Ursula and Ingo Zapp on the death of Ursula's brother, and for the parents, Kurt and Risa Dirksen, who mourn the death of their son, be with his partner, his siblings, and Opa, Frank Dirksen, all the extended families. We ask that you also be with the Sawatsky and Funk families as they mourn the loss of their father. Tragedies fill us with despair and grief, and we come to you, God, for comfort, for solace, and renewal. Lord God, your Son has taken all our sufferings upon himself and has transformed them. Help us who offer these prayers to take the sufferings of others upon ourselves, and so by your grace become the agents of your transforming love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now we will have the offering.
Jesus Christ.
children.
Good morning. Morning. Today we're going to be talking about being called to be courageous. Do you know what it means to be courageous, to have courage? Yes, Jay. Doing something you're really scared of. Yep. That's true. What else? Does it mean that you're not scared? No, not necessarily. Sometimes we're still scared and we do something anyway. I'm going to tell you a story that Jesus told about someone called the Good Samaritan. And some of you probably know this story quite well. But way back in those times, there was two groups of people that really didn't like each other. One group was called the Jews, and the other group was called the Samaritans. And both of them thought that the other group was wrong. They thought they were not as important. They thought the way they worshipped and the way they did things was wrong. And they just did not get along at all. So that's an important background to this story. Because one day, there was a Jewish man who went walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he had to travel through some pretty wild and desolate places with lots of rocks and mountains. And hiding in a lot of those rocks and mountains were gangs of robbers and thieves. And this man was traveling all by himself down this road when, sure enough, a group of robbers jumped out from behind some rocks, and they beat him up, and they took everything he had, and they left him there all bleeding and wounded and probably dying, and they just took off. So now we have this man lying by the side of the road, not doing very well. Along comes a priest. And a priest is a leader in the church, right? So we think, this is a good guy. Surely he's going to help this man. But he didn't. He walked as far as he could to the other side of the road and stayed well away from this poor wounded man and kept going. Then another traveler came by. Oh, good, someone's going to help him, right? This man was something called a Levite, and that just means he knew a lot about the law and about God's law, and he was a teacher, and he knew a lot about the Bible and the scriptures. So surely he knows to help this guy, right? No, he didn't either. He also walked as far as he could around on the other side of the road to stay out of the way. So now this man is getting even worse shape. It's getting dark. He's all alone. He's hurt. And a Samaritan comes walking down the road. And remember, Samaritans and Jews didn't like each other. So is this Samaritan going to help this Jew? What do you think? If you know the story, you know he does, right? He picked up this man, put him on his donkey. He took him to the closest inn because they didn't have hospitals back then, so this was the next best thing. And he washed him up, and he put bandages on him, and he paid the innkeeper for some food and to keep this man there for a few days until he started to feel better. And he did all of that, even though probably if they were both well, they would have walked completely on the opposite sides of the road and crossed each other and never looked at each other. So this story, to me, is about the most courageous kind of love that there is. When we love someone and we help someone who is different from us, who probably wouldn't like us if they met us on the street, someone who maybe wouldn't have helped us, but we help them anyways. And that, to me, is what it means to be courageous, to do something that is so crazy, but that we know that's what God wants us to do. Let's say a quick prayer. God, we thank you for all the stories in the Bible that show us about your love and about how we can be people who love like you do. Please help us to be courageous in showing love to everyone we meet today and throughout the week. Amen. Thanks.
Before I read the scripture, I wonder if you might all turn to the back of your bulletin. The Prayer of St. Francis. It's one of my absolute favorite readings, and I would love it if we would all just read it together. I think the words are so important, and I think sometimes when you read things together, we all share this common bond. So if you would join me. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying to self that we are born to eternal life. The reading is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Be watchful. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love.
Good morning. As most of you know, I have spent the last few months working at Camp Assiniboia. I am the Bible instructor for the day camp program this summer, and I have had the privilege, mostly the joy, of delivering Bible lessons to between 4 and 33 grade 1 to 4 campers during the past 4 weeks. Prior to that were some preparation and training weeks, and I also worked in the kitchen and did some maintenance and cleaning through April and May. But even before all that, during March, I took on the responsibility of putting together the Bible curriculum, which was to be and has been used at all three camps this summer in varying ways by different Bible instructors. Now, camp curriculums, if you don't know, work on a 5-year cycle. And so rather than start from scratch, I used a previous curriculum as my starting point and simply altered the focus or perspective. The outline that was written for 5 years ago pulled together the Prayer of St. Francis and the fruits of the Spirit and focused on heroes of the faith. Now, I took this outline, but I focused on us being the heroes, how we are all called to be courageous in bearing the fruit of the Spirit and acting in ways that reflect those fruit, what I call for the kids using our superfruit powers. Now, this morning, I want to share the 5 lessons that we are teaching at camp with all of you, in part because I think they are universal in what they teach and have truth to impart to all ages, in part because I have had little time to invest in crafting a message from a text from scratch, and in part because these are lessons that I feel I need to explore on a deeper level than I can with 6 to 10-year-olds. The text that Lainey just read is our theme verse for the summer, and it's memorized by each group of campers, with actions, of course. The first part of St. Francis' prayer, which we just read together, provides the framework, with 1 or 2 fruit of the Spirit being focused on for each day. As I was preparing for this message, I also discovered that if I mix up the order a little bit, each phrase of our memory verse also fits into this outline. So I've already learned something new and have delved deeper into the text and themes than I would have at camp. St. Francis' prayer begins, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. This, I feel, is where the 5 lessons are headed throughout the week. This is the end point. For us to be challenged and to answer our calling to be workers who help to usher in God's peace and God's kingdom, and God's shalom. But let's start with lesson 1. Lesson 1 is about having the courage to love. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. God calls us to be courageous in who we love and in how we love. Fear pulls us towards hatred of the other. as we see reflected in our world today in the acts of terrorism, in our reactions to acts of terrorism, in the rise of Donald Trump. But God's Spirit can give us the courage to act in love. And the fruit for this lesson, obviously, is love. Now, love is a great starting place because it really encompasses all of the spiritual fruit, and it provides the groundwork for the following lessons. When we can look at the other with love rather than hate, then we are ready to build relationships. When we stop fearing those who are different from us and are courageous enough to at least act out of love toward those we don't understand, then we are becoming true disciples of Christ. The story of the Good Samaritan, which I just shared earlier, is a beautiful window into what courageous love looks like. It's somewhat easy to love those who are similar to us, yet we often can't even do that. Like the priest and the Levite, we avoid situations where we have to give too much of ourselves. We avoid getting too messy. But Jesus wasn't afraid to get messy in showing love, and we are called to be courageous enough to get a little dirty too. The Samaritan crosses religious, cultural, and emotional boundaries in getting close to this bleeding, desperate Jew. And because he was a courageous lover, he saw beyond their differences, beyond the ingrained fear and hatred, and saw instead a fellow child of God in need of help, in need of love. And he loved him. He cared for him. He sacrificed time and money for this person. So often when things get difficult or a little messy in our relationships, it feels easier to do nothing, to avoid being vulnerable. Who is the other that I am avoiding, that you are avoiding? We avoid because we're afraid of the unknown, the different. What would it look like to show that other love and to take action? The fruit of the Spirit that we are called to bear don't just magically manifest in our everyday interactions. We have to choose to act. As we grow in faith and in our relationship with God, the Spirit does, I believe, grow these fruit within us. But it is still up to us to act out of, or act with, love, or kindness, or self-control. Paul calls us to do everything in love, and that takes thousands of small choices every day, to act with courage, to not react out of fear, to choose love over hate, moment after moment. Lesson two is about having the courage to forgive. Where there is injury, let me sow pardon. God calls us to be courageous in how we react to being hurt, and how we act when we are angry. Fear feeds our anger and pulls us towards hurting back or nursing our injuries into bitterness. But God's Spirit can give us the courage to turn experiences of anger and hurt into experiences of pardon and forgiveness through the fruit of patience and self-control. Now, this lesson, I must admit, is one which I find very easy to teach, but very difficult to live. A number of years ago, I was hurt, perhaps not directly, but still quite personally, by the actions and words of a number of individuals within this congregation. I also know that I reacted out of anger on occasion as well. I also felt hurt by the church as a whole, even knowing that I was also complicit and part of this congregation, for failing to support both of our pastors at that time, and for choosing sides instead of working at open communication and reconciliation. Over many months, I feel I have been able, and years, I feel I've been able to let go of much of my anger and hurt, which is why I am still here. But I have recently realized that I still have a lot of forgiving work to do, and I admit I am struggling with it. Forgiving means I have to open myself up to the pain that I still feel. And I have to let go of some of the bitterness that has become a little too comfortable. and I'm not sure how exactly to do this. It is far easier to wrap myself in righteous indignation than to acknowledge my own failings and mistakes and my need for restored relationships. I wonder if Joseph had to let go of some too comfortable bitterness, too, when he saw his brothers after years had passed, since they threatened to kill him and sold him into slavery. Perhaps his change in fortune made it a little easier for him to forgive. I imagine if he had seen them while sitting in prison, his self-control may have been strained. But he obviously struggled with a whole range of emotions. At first, he recognizes them, but he treats them harshly. And in between some testing of them and what seems like playing games with them, he breaks down and weeps no fewer than 3 times. Forgiveness takes a lot of energy and emotion to work through. The amazing thing to me in this story is that he is able to forgive and is reunited with his family because he is courageous enough to take that step. Now, Joseph has the added benefit of having seen God's plan for his time in Egypt and realizes the good that has come out of the evil his brothers intended. Unfortunately, we don't often have that luxury, or perhaps it just takes a lot of courage to be patient enough to see it. Now, the focus at camp is on patience and self-control in the face of hurt. Reacting out of anger is counterproductive and ends up causing more pain. Stopping to think through the situation, to see the other's perspective, can allow us the time that we need to be able to react with forgiveness rather than more hurt. Paul urges us to be on our guard against the evils of reacting in anger, out of hatred or fear, and in clinging to bitterness. The choice to forgive and to bear the fruit of patience and self-control is one we also must make moment after moment, day after day. Lesson number 3 is about having courage to have faith. Where there is doubt, let me sow faith. God calls us to be courageous in trusting God and being faithful even when fear might pull us toward doubt. God's Spirit gives us the courage to act in goodness and faithfulness and to trust in the midst of questions. Doubt comes to each of us at different times and in different ways. Sometimes we might doubt God's goodness. Sometimes we might doubt God's presence. Sometimes we might doubt God's very existence. We all have questions that are hard to answer, if they have any answer at all. Sometimes we doubt ourselves. We doubt our abilities, our own goodness, our own worth. I feel like I have struggled with each and every one of these doubts in the past couple of years, as well as doubted my very sense of call and my ability to hear God's voice. Doubts and questions are scary, but if we allow some time and space, and if we bring those questions to God, they don't have to erode our faith completely. God, I like to tell the campers, loves it when we are curious. Questions, if we are courageous enough to ask them, can lead us closer to God and allow for searching, for learning, and for growth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego give us a powerful example of staying true and faithful and good in the midst of temptations and even in the face of death. They are a hard act to live up to, but a great challenge to us as we face less fiery trials as we strive to live faithfully and obediently, as we strive to live in trust. Our physical lives might not be on the line as we make decisions about who or what we will worship, but perhaps our reputation, our image, our worldly success. My faith in God's plan for me has meant a lot of waiting and putting financial planning on hold, which is stressful as Eric and I enter our 40s, for example. Paul urges us to stand firm in the faith. Although doubts and questions arise, we are called to trust courageously
in God's faithfulness and God's goodness. The fourth lesson is about having the courage to hope. Where there is despair, let me sow hope. Fear leaves us in despair, but God calls us to live in a daring hope and to pull others out of despair through acts of kindness and gentleness, which are the fruit for this lesson. In many ways, this is the most straightforward lesson to teach. When people are struggling, are sad, hurt, grieving, in despair, we react usually with kindness. With hugs, with cards, with food. Even just a smile can alleviate suffering and bring a little hope into the situation. But it does take courage, because here, again, as with love, we may be walking into messy situations. Situations where we really feel uncomfortable. An untimely death. What do I say? A divorce or a family conflict. What can I do? Situations of abuse. What can I offer? Mental illness. Where do I begin? The story of Naaman and his wife's servant is to me a beautiful picture of kindness, even to an enemy. Naaman is a career soldier, and he's suffering from leprosy. Not something that can be hidden for long and will definitely affect his ability to continue soldiering. A servant girl, plunder stolen from her family and country, knows of a possible cure. Remarkably, she extends kindness to her master, her captor, and tells him of Elisha and a possible miracle. This story also encompasses forgiveness, for without it she could not have been so willing to try to alleviate Naaman's despair. When we are stuck in despair, whatever it may be, when we feel like nothing will ever get better, even small acts of kindness can bring us a little hope. Sometimes when I look at the world and watch the news, I feel despair. There is so much that is so wrong. But then I see acts of kindness. Or maybe I act kindly myself, and I have hope that not all is lost. And hopefully others, too, are able to hope for that better world. Paul calls us to be strong, and I think it takes extraordinary strength to be kind and gentle in today's world. So we start with our family, with our neighborhood, and we grow hope one kindness at a time. The final lesson is about the courage to say yes to God's kingdom. Where there is darkness, let me sow light. Where there is sadness, joy. God calls us to be courageous in saying yes to kingdom values, in saying yes to acting in love and patience and faithfulness and kindness. The fruit of the day are joy and peace, which embody the kingdom of God. Joy is found when hope settles in, when trust is strong. Joy is knowing that God is present and good and loving and faithful, even when the world tries to tell us otherwise. Peace is so much bigger than no violence. The Hebrew word shalom encompasses so much more than that vision of peace. It encompasses a right relationship with God, with others, and with creation. I believe that peace is, yes, no war or fighting. But I also believe peace is when everyone has enough. Enough food, shelter, water. Enough community and sense of belonging. Peace and justice go hand in hand. And this is what God's kingdom is all about. Wholeness. Shalom. When we act in love and faith and hope and peace and joy, we are saying yes to God's kingdom. Every time that we cross a dividing boundary and show love, every time that we choose forgiveness over anger, Every time that we trust in the midst of doubt. Every time that we show kindness to those in despair. Every time we work for peace in a world of injustice, we are saying yes to God's kingdom. Like Samuel answering that voice in the night, or Mary agreeing to bear God's son, when we are courageous enough to say yes to God and open ourselves to God's Spirit, God will work through us to make the world a better place, one small act at a time. Paul calls us to be people of courage. The Spirit is in you, and the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit are in you. It's your choice now. It's my choice now. Will we bear love, patience, self-control, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, gentleness, joy, and peace, and act courageously every day? Our world is full of hatred, hurt, doubt, despair, darkness, and most of all, fear. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be people of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Be instruments of God's peace.
Thank you, Janet, for your very personal an insightful message that speaks to all of us. Who has not struggled with bitterness, with inability to forgive, with despair when we suffer poor health, or a diagnosis that changes everything in our life in a heartbeat? Last year I stood here talking about how mental illness had affected my life, and I was pretty bitter. The year didn't get any easier. But God somehow has continued to bring strength and gratitude. And that doesn't happen every day either. We can't always feel grateful. And I think we need to be able to forgive ourselves when we don't, because I think God forgives us. It's not always easy to feel blessed every day. As we go into this week, I want you all to reread that prayer of St. Francis. And I know this, I've often told people all the songs I once sung at my funeral. I really want that at my funeral, because I really think that's how I would like to live. We'd like to also keep our grieving families in our prayers. We want to keep Gary and Hildy in our prayers as they continue their treatments. And we want to keep Peter, Kim, and Heinrich in our prayers as they continue to recover. And since we have time, I'm going to ask you to open your German books. And when I get to be worship leader, I get to have a little license and sing some German. So a very familiar hymn. If you would open up to number 166 in your German hymnal, we're going to sing all three verses. And if you would stand for the benediction, and then we will sing the song. Let us pray. Father, as we go to our homes and our work this coming week, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit into our lives. Open our ears to hear what you are saying to us in the things that happen to us and in the people we meet. Open our eyes to see the needs of the people around us. Open our hands to do our work well, to help when help is needed. Open our lips to tell others the good news of Jesus and bring comfort, happiness, and laughter to other people. Open our minds to discover new truth about you and the world. Open our hearts to love you and our fellow men as you have loved us in Jesus. To him, with you, our Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, all honor and praise shall be given now and forever. Amen. And you have to really sing so I don't just hear myself. Schenk uns Worte deiner.